We live in a materialistic world where the search for wealth is absolutely the spirit of our age. And of course, we keep on being warned about that in the scriptures, and it's quite right that we let ourselves hear that warning again. And we're going to take the warning from Ecclesiastes 6. Start in verse 1. Solomon says, and this is Solomon as an old man looking back at his spiritually failed life, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is heavy on men. A man to whom God gives riches, wealth, and honour." Well, wait a minute. Who was the man to whom God gave riches, wealth, and honour? Well, these are the very words used about what God gave to Solomon. When he chose wisdom, God said, "Well done, I will give you riches, wealth, and honour." So he's lamenting the man to whom God gives riches, wealth, and honour, so that he lacks nothing for his soul of all that he desires. Well, you read how he describes how he's lived his life in Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, and quite clearly he is talking about himself. He did not restrain his soul from anything. If he wanted a woman of a particular kind, or I don't know, form or body type or hair colour, well, he took her. He wanted to get involved in agriculture, well, he went crazy about it. He did whatever. He wanted to get involved in gardening, well, he did that to the nth degree. He wanted to get involved in building projects, sure, he built a whole load of things. So, this man, Solomon says, lacks nothing for his soul of all that he desires. Well, as I say, Ecclesiastes 1 and 2 are describing Solomon as just that man. "Yet God gives him no power to eat of it, but an alien, a Gentile, eats it." Don't forget, Solomon's wives, most of them, were Gentiles. And so all that he built up, in the end, went to his family, which were Gentiles. He goes on, verse 3, "If a man fathers 100 children," well, he had 1,000 wives, so I guess he did have 100 children, so he's talking about himself. "If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many," well, Solomon did live a fairly long life for those days, "but his soul is not filled with good, and moreover he has no respectable burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than him." Well, when Solomon died, he died with nobody desiring him. He had whipped his people. The minute he died, his people came to his son Rehoboam and said, "Your father whipped us. He abused us. Please, can you just soften up a bit?" And he knew that. He knew that people had a pretty bad view of him, and when he died, nobody was going to be mourning for him. They all glad he was gone, going to start squabbling about the inheritance and so on. What a tragic end. Now, this is the power of the challenge of Ecclesiastes. Most people spend their whole existence striving for whatever, to own their own property, to own a second property, to own a car, a second car, and then a really nice car, to get their kids into a good school and through university. In personal terms, people strive for this relationship, oh, with that woman, oh, with that man, oh, this is the one, oh, yeah, okay, so we divorced and that, yeah. Yeah, but now I found the real one, and then, yeah, the next one, and the next one, and so it goes. People spend their whole lives trying to attain what Solomon attained, and he attained it far more than anybody. And yet, at the end of his days, he says this is evil. And in fact, three times in Ecclesiastes, he talks about how evil it is that you can't take wealth beyond the grave. You can just have a look at these passages at your leisure, Ecclesiastes 4:8, 5:13, and here in chapter 6, verse 2. So he'd been given everything, by God, in fact. And yet, he felt at the end of his life, having had good health, as far as we know, that it was awful because he couldn't take it with him. He had no clear hope in a resurrection, in a future kingdom, because he thought he was the messianic son of David and his kingdom was the messianic kingdom. So he has no future perspective. Now, come on, let's take the warning. Don't give your strength, don't give the passion of your life, your heart, soul, and strength to getting that extra bit of wealth. Don't waste your life in searching for endless relationships. Solomon got it all, and look where it led. That is the unique significance of why we have this book, which is otherwise just very depressive. But then you get the message, here is a man at the very end who had it all, and how do you feel at the end of it? Vast majority of people die on the way to that end of the rainbow. They don't get there. But here's a guy who got to the end of many rainbows. And what did he find? This is an evil. I can't take it beyond the grave. And here, I think, our understanding of death as total unconsciousness and the true blessing or reward as a place in God's future kingdom, this has huge implications on our attitude to wealth, on our attitude to life now. It has massive implications for that. And so let's learn the lesson. God will provide. He provided for Israel clothing and food as they went through the wilderness. He'll take care of all that stuff. He will not leave the seed of the righteous begging bread. That's what David observed. It's what I've observed. And in the end, he will provide. Now, it may not be provision as we think. You know, Israel got fed up with the manna and they wanted garlics, fish and onions. They were tired of having clothes that didn't wear out. That was a miracle. Shoes that didn't wear out. Oh, you know, now I want a range of clothes, a range of sandals and a wardrobe. Yeah, that is human nature. That is, you know, next, you know, a good name for the fashion chain. Next, you know, I want the next thing. Okay, but God has promised the basics. And it is only the materialistic mind that is not going to be satisfied with that. And so we can really take comfort that he will provide and get on giving our whole soul, strength, heart, the absolute basic psychological pattern and heartbeat of our lives to serving God and to focusing upon the true life and the true blessing, which is not now, which is yet to come.